Welcome to Stocks Worksheet number 2. Now, have you gone through it on your own? Don't just jump to the answer key. Okay, let's go through it. Okay. For the following stocks, name the exchange or the market: the New York Stock Exchange, the Amex, now called the NYSE, MKT, MKT, I guess that stands for market, NASDAQ, or the OTC, that you believe the stock could be expected to be found on. So what about Microsoft, huh? Microsoft, the tech company, yes, they started on the NASDAQ, and that's where they still are. And once they got really, really big, the New York Stock Exchange just assumed they would move to the New York Stock Exchange, and they didn't do it. And that's when the New York Stock Exchange realized, uh-oh. In fact, they saved that M, that symbol, just M for Microsoft, and they never got it. Number 2, General Electric. Oh, how can you get bluer than General Electric, the blue chip of them all? New York Stock Exchange, right. Now, what about Flim Flam Incorporated? Flim Flam. Flim? Who are they? Oh, you know who they are. They came up with the left-handed smoke shifter. Is that what it was? It's going to be really big, folks. I mean, they're going to sell millions of them. Right. It's not a real company. It's a penny stock that they're hawking and telling you. Now they're getting into marijuana. All the penny stocks now are whatever they were doing before, you know, making mattresses or selling services to people. No, now they're all doing stuff for pot. Yes, right, the bulletin boards, the pink sheets, the wrong side of the tracks, the red light district, the bad side of town. Stay away from these companies. How about AMD? Do you know who AMD is? Advanced Micro Devices? Right, they're a competitor to Intel. They make processors that go into computers like Intel does, as Intel does. And so you think NASDAQ, right? Wrong. They, for decades, were on the New York Stock Exchange, but yes, now you're right. They moved over to the NASDAQ. Competition. Diamond ETFs, huh? The Diamond ETFs, exchange-traded fund. The diamonds are the exchange-traded funds that follow the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And the reason for that is because DIA is the symbol for the Dow Jones Industrial Average. So they call them diamonds. Isn't that cool? Mm-hmm. We'll say Amex, NYSC market. Why? Because now they're really everywhere. Or they're traded everywhere. So, you can say anyone, and you're right. But as a tip of the hat to the Amex, because that's the place where the ETF started, 25, 26, 27, 27 years ago. That's a long time ago. Yes. So any one of them would be fine. Now, International Paper, what do they make? Well, paper, right? Right. And when you make paper, you also make timber, wood products, because they're byproducts of each other. And it's been around a long time and used to be in the Dow, but I don't think it's there anymore. Is it there? No, I think they took it out. New York Stock Exchange, of course. Yes, the New York Stock Exchange. That's who we're talking about. Okay, makes sense? Now remember, to be sure, what do? Right, you go online, use the internet site of your choice, or pay extra 10 bucks a month to get really good data, and you just look it up, just like that. Next section. For the following stocks, name the type of stock that you believe best fits the stock. Now, these are the categories that we discussed in the presentation. And there are others, but these are the ones that were trumpeted by Peter Lynch. So I'm not going to argue with Peter Lynch. We'll discuss him later on. He was the manager of the Fidelity Magellan Fund from 1977 to 1989. And ran up a 29% per year annual average return. Yeah, pretty good. And then he just retired because the stress was too much. He wrote a couple of great books, and they're on the... actually, he wrote more than that, but the two are The One Up on Wall Street. That's the first book, really. It's the first book you should, one of the first books you should read about stocks. It's in that that document called Books to Read. And he's a great guy. He's a great guy. Level-headed, very, very down-to-earth. So these are basically stolen from his book, One Up on Wall Street. Number 7, Ford. Well, car manufacturers. Well, I guess you could say Ford is a blue chip. They've survived a near-death experience in the Great Recession. But in general, any company that makes stuff is a cyclical company, pretty much, unless they make stuff that you have to have every day, like Johnson & Johnson. But when you make materials or chemicals or cars, cars are the poster child for a cyclical company. Because when the economy is doing well, people go out and buy new cars. When the economy is not doing well, the old Bessie will keep going for a couple more years. So Ford is definitely cyclical. What about Walmart? Well, sure enough, that's a blue chip company. It's one of the world's largest companies. And it's a retailer. So most retailers are fairly cyclical, but it depends on what kind of retailer they are. In the case of Walmart, right, they sell to people the daily things that everyone needs, and they're one of the low price leaders. So they actually survived the Great Recession better than many retailers, because people were pinching pennies and they decided Walmart's the place to go. How about four bucks. The Starbucks. Well, for years it was the archetypal growth company, and they set a goal for themselves. This was a while back, 5-6 years ago, maybe less. They were going to have 40,000 stores around the world. What are they going to do? They're already on every corner. Some of them, in some areas, there's one on either side of the corner if it's a high foot traffic in a city. They're going to start putting them on top of one another? I didn't figure that one out. And then, sure enough, within a year or so, they realized, you know what? This expansion is not going the way we thought. And they actually had to close some stores. So I don't think they're a growth stock anymore. You do your research. You decide. Are they a blue chip? I don't know. GE would beg to differ. What about number 10, Sears Kmart? Sears Kmart. It's as if you take two drowning people and you throw them a life preserver to each of them with a rope tied to the two life preservers so they're going to save each other. Yes, they are the archetypal turnaround. My language that I call them goners. But there are some people who think they're going to live, they're going to survive. I don't think they are. I mean, you go down H Street, you Chula Vista fans from the college, who has more cars in the parking lot? Costco or Kmart? Exactly. And I think they just, no, that Kmart's already closed. What am I talking about? That Kmart's gone. Exactly. Right. And now there's, who has more, who's going to take over that building? I don't know. General Mills. What do they make? Cheerios, Wheaties, cereal. Right. The food companies are defensive. And they're a blue chip, too. I should put down blue chip there, too. Yeah, they're a big company. And when you make food, that's defensive because you don't eat more cornflakes or Cheerios because the economy's doing well. And you don't eat fewer. Well, maybe you tighten your belt a little bit, maybe by the generic brand, but still, it's a defensive company. Number 12, Union Pacific Railroad. Well, railroads, like all transportation companies, have to get the stuff to where it is, it's going to be to be created, and then they have to get the stuff to where it's going to be sold. So, in a way, they're cyclical. But railroads are sitting on some very valuable assets. Land that was given to them in the 19th century, exactly, their asset plays. Because there's that underlying asset hiding underneath the company. Number 13, Michelin. Michelin, yes, they are a foreign company, right? They are a company based in France, but they're a global company. I mean, people don't understand that they bought B.F. Goodrich, one of our United States companies. I think they bought a few other companies based in the United States. So, yeah, you buy B.F. Goodrich tires thinking you're buying American. No, they're owned by Michelin. And Michelin tires are made in the United States, so maybe a few of them are, you know, the higher end, maybe still made in France, but most are all made way in the countries or the areas that you buy them around the world. So, it's one of those companies that's a country unto itself. Alcoa, Aluminum Corporation of America, right. They make stuff, or they make aluminum, and so it's a cyclical company. It's also a blue chip, you know, they're roots deep in the economy, but said material companies like Alcoa are cyclical. Now, what about El Paso Electric? Well, utilities in general are defensive, but some utilities are sitting on a lot of assets, like El Paso, so there's an asset play involved there, too, because they have lots of goodies, real estate, and mineral rights that they own. Yeah, so that's an asset play. Cool? Now, that's what you're going to do in your assignment. You're going to do your research on those companies and, you know, choose some on your own. And then you decide what category or categories, because some fit in more than one, the stock belongs to. And you don't worry about being perfect. I mean, there's sometimes people will argue over it. Is Starbucks really a growth company? Yes, it is. No, it isn't. Okay, our last section here has to do with the calculations we did with regard to price-to-earnings ratio, dividend payout ratio, and dividend yield. So, Widgets Incorporated. Widgets, who are... It's a fictitious company. They make little doodads, go-gobs, or chutzkas, things that you put on your shelf and have to dust every 3 or 4 years. So, Widgets is currently selling for $52. Its earnings last year were $3.75 per share, and it is paying a dividend of $1.85 per share. Please compute the following. So price-to-earnings ratio, very important statistic that we discuss in detail and we'll come back to as several times. We'll come back to that several times, and you're going to find that this is probably the most watched statistic in the industry. Price is $52 divided by earnings, $3.75, and you get almost 14, 13.86666666666, and eventually you have to throw a 7 in there somewhere. So you see that little squiggle, that means approximately, if you're looking at the answer key, 13.9. So you'd say 13.9, or maybe 14, 13.9. Is that high? Is it low? No, it's about average. Well, now their PEs are a lot higher than they were. But still, it's about, it's not bad. It's not bad. It's not too high. It's not too low. Just right. What about the dividend payout ratio? Well, that's dividend divided by earnings. And so dividends are $1.85. Earnings are $3.75. Or 0.4933333333333. Repeating. It's about 49%. You could put down 49%. You could put 0.49. You could write whatever your calculator says, and that's right. Don't even have to change it to a percentage. It is up to you. But often it will be represented as a percentage. And the last one is dividend yield. Very important. We love to know how our stock is paying us dividends. So we can contrast that with bonds and savings accounts and other instruments that pay an income to us, cash flow. So dividends divided by the price, $1.85 divided by 52, and that's 0.0355769, and you could write that and it would be correct, But what we often do is write the dividend yield as a percentage. If you do that, make sure you do it right. Move the decimal point two to the right. But please don't round up to a full percentage. Leave at least three digits of accuracy, meaning, 3.56 if you're looking at the answer key is what I wrote. Because if you just put 4%, well, that means anything between 3.5% up to 4.49%, you see? And that's a big spread. That's a big jump in the dividend world. So we want to be more precise. If you use two digits, okay, but we want to see at least three, please, please, in your calculations. All right? So I hope this has been helpful to you. Go back and do it again, and we'll see you in the next stock worksheet. Bye.